One day, I volunteered to sound Kyle out, inviting him to join me for a pickup basketball game at the University of Chicago gym. Kyle was quiet most of the ride up to Hyde Park, fending off questions with a grunt or a shrug. I asked him if he was still thinking about the Air Force, and he shook his head. He'd stay in Chicago, he said, find a job and get his own place. I asked him what had changed his mind. He said that the Air Force would never let a black man fly a plane. I looked at him crossly. Who told you that mess? Kyle shrugged. Don't need somebody to tell me that. Just is, that's all. Man, that's the wrong attitude, Kyle. You can do whatever you want if you're just willing to work for it. Kyle smirked and turned his head toward the window, his breath misting the glass. Yeah, well, how many black pilots do you know? The gym wasn't crowded when we arrived, and we had to wait only one game before we got onto the court. It had been at least 6 months since I'd even seen a basketball, and the cigarettes had taken their toll. On the first play of the game, the man guarding me stripped the ball clean out of my hands and I called a foul, causing the players on the sidelines to hoot with derision. By the second game, I was walking across the half-court line, feeling slightly dizzy. To spare myself further embarrassment, I decided to sit out the third game and watch Kyle play. His game wasn't bad, but he was guarding a man a few years older than me, an orderly at a hospital, short but aggressive and very quick. After a few plays, it became clear that the man had Kyle's number. He scored 3 baskets in a row, then started talking the usual talk. You can't do no better than that, boy. How you gonna let an old man like me make you look so bad? Kyle didn't answer, but the play between them became rough. The next time down the floor, as the man made his move for the basket, Kyle bumped him hard. The man threw the ball at Kyle's chest, then turned to one of his partners. You see that? This punk can't guard me. Suddenly, without any warning, Kyle swung. His fist landed square on the man's jaw, dropping him to the floor. I ran onto the court as the other players pulled Kyle away. His eyes were wide, his voice trembling as he watched the orderly struggle to his feet and spit out a wad of blood. I ain't no punk, Kyle muttered, and then again, I ain't no punk. We were lucky. Somebody had called the security guard downstairs, but the orderly was too embarrassed to admit to the incident. On the drive back, I gave Kyle a long lecture about keeping his cool, about violence, about responsibility. My words sounded trite, and Kyle sat without answering, his eyes fixed on the road. When I was finished, he turned to me and said, "Just don't tell my mama, all right?" I thought that was a good sign. I said I wouldn't tell Ruby what happened, so long as he did, and he grudgingly agreed. Kyle was a good kid, I thought. He still cared about something. But would that be enough to save him?